Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Some of the things we'll be discussing today on this Wednesday afternoon, May 8th, 2013. What are some of the things we're going to be talking about, Al, today? Gold manipulation, is that backfiring? We had a nice day in gold today, so we'll be talking about that in just a little bit. And what about all of our phone calls being recorded? And so there isn't anything private going on. And also, we need to we'll be discussing about the internet tax and an article that I brought on the program just for Al. But first, let's go ahead and get to the prices today. We have gold. Looking at the page that I look at right now, it's up $20 at $1,474. Up $20, that's $1,474. Silver is still struggling, but it's still maintaining that $24 level, down a couple pennies today at $2,403. Platinum was up $18 today at $1,507, with palladium up $14 at $698. And palladium did win out on percentage gains, a little over 2%, followed by gold and then platinum. The USDX today is down, surprise, surprise, 0.39 at 81.91. And crude oil was up about a buck today at 96.54. And the markets today, again, are probably celebrating new record highs. Dow added 48 points, new record high. Woohoo! The S&P also hit a new record with the Dow up 48 points at 15,105. The NASDAQ up 16 at 34.13. S&P up 6 at 16.32. The 10-year yield, 1.76. on the day. So some of the I don't think there's any major reports coming out this week. We have the CPI later on in the month, along with a few other reports coming out. But Al, good afternoon.
Yes. Well, Molly, I see gold, you know, it's encouraging to me. Yesterday gold went down most of $20, but today it goes back up $20. Mm-hmm. And after the April plunge, when you see gold take a sudden dip for $20, you, oh my gosh, you know, you get kind of, oh, what are they going to do today? And you wonder if we're not going into another manipulated fall in the price of gold, and then it bounces. But today, rather than seeing a continuation, it bounces back up. For me, that's extremely encouraging. It indicates that even if the powers that be can smack gold down $20 an ounce right now, the free market is pushing it back up $20 on the following day. Now, I'm not saying that it definitely the manipulation is the explanation for whatever, you know, the decline we had yesterday. But, you know, there's a good chance. And if it was true and if the market bounced back $20 today, it's just more evidence. Not absolute proof, but it's more evidence that the momentum is headed upward and the powers that be may not be able, they may not have the resources to continue to suppress the price of gold the same extent they did earlier in a month ago. You know, what was it? Actually about four weeks ago, we had that horrific plunge. So, you know, it's encouraging.
It is. It's nice to see gold building a base here at these levels. It looks like silver's building its base around the $24 level. And there's some discussions that you could actually see silver dip to $22. But even at this level, they're all great opportunities, folks. And, you know, commentary a year from now, 2 years, you're going to wish you would have bought at these prices. You have a lot of, you know, we talk about the manipulations of gold and silver out. And we talk about how the currencies are being manipulated. And you know, George Soros, you know, he was one who supposedly sold all his gold and, you know, was the, you know, one coming out saying, you know, gold is going to be end of the bubble. It's dipping. And, you know, then you followed up with Goldman Sachs and, you know, then it's followed up with the big, you know, 200 point drop that we saw back in April. But he made a ton of money on he made $1 billion. And it may go down as one of the great currency bets in Australian dollar history, a U.S. $1 billion gamble on a Reserve Bank rate cut that has delivered about $19 million profit in 36 hours. And, of course, it was George Soros. And, folks, you know, this is just another example of all the inside information of how these people work together, how they know in advance how to play the markets. And if you really think that with your money in the stock market, that you're going to be able to pull off even something fraction of what this guy is doing, you're absolutely incorrect. The market is rigged. It is manipulated for and steered by those who know, just like the Warren Buffett, all his trades. Oh, everybody listens to Warren Buffett. He's an insider. He knows exactly what's going to go on. You know, who's the guy that benefited from having the Keystone Pipeline eliminated? It was Warren Buffett. He gets to transport all that oil through his trains. So, you know, but, you know, Al, the currency manipulations, here's a prime example of someone profiting from it. And it just goes to show gold should have taken off when the Reserve Bank of Australia cut their rate. And it was a historic rate cut for them. And you should have had seen gold skyrocket, because when you have this type of manipulation of the currencies, they're devaluing their currency, Al.
Well, everybody is trying to devalue their currency, mm-hmm. virtually everyone, because they're yep. tied up in global free trade. And the idea behind devaluing the currency, which is to say inflating it, we want our dollars cheaper, relatively speaking, than the Chinese yuan or the European euro. If our dollars are cheaper, then people will buy, foreigners will buy American products because they will be able to purchase them at lower prices. Our dollars, if they're worth less, then they're more easily affordable by foreign buyers. Well, the idea is that if we sell enough goods to foreign countries, then we can become prosperous again. That's the idea, or at least that's the justification. But the truth of the matter is, when we sell goods for less prices, how can we do that? Someone has to be making either less profits or less wages. When the government causes 5% inflation, the government has just reduced everyone's pay and or profits by 5%. That's essentially what's happening. They have given everyone a pay cut. You understand this? Oh, this will be great for business. Well, who cares if they keep on impoverishing you and me and the rest of the people in this country? They reduce the prices. They reduce the value of the dollar. You're working for less. I'm working for less. We ultimately have less purchasing power. And they say, oh, but we're stimulating the economy. No, they're not. They're taking this whole thing down. But what is fascinating and ironic is that when we inflate our currency, which is what we've been doing with quantitative easing for the past, 5 years or thereabouts, 4 years, when we inflate our currency, then other countries say, oh, we're not going to let the United States start selling their products cheaper overseas. We're going to inflate our currency. And they all, and virtually all of the nations of the world, are endeavoring to inflate their currencies in order to be more competitive on the global market. And all it really does is impoverish the people of the world, and we get to work more and earn less. How can it end? You know, it's not going to end well. You cannot continue to inflate the world's currencies without, one, seeing the price of gold go up dramatically, and two, seeing the people increasingly impoverished. The whole thing is a kind of insanity, and we are caught in that insanity. We are caught in a world where we must behave in ways that are irrational and perhaps contrary to our best interests, because we have accepted a fundamental principle 40 years ago, and even beyond that, but 40 years ago it became absolutely effective, that the dollar would be just a fiat currency. We walked away from the gold standard domestically in 1933, walked away from the silver standard domestically in 1968, walked away from the gold standard internationally 1971. For 42 years, we've had a pure fiat currency. We have operated on the assumption that money is debt, right? All of your green pieces of paper are actually in the wallet are actually debt instruments. And we have this insanity going on that we are going to treat debt as if it were an asset. And the more debt you have, the richer you are. And the whole thing is crazy. And it will inevitably lead to a crazy result. Why would anyone do this? And the answer is, ask Soros, George Soros, who made millions of dollars in a matter of minutes. If you can set up a crazy system, you can work it, you can manipulate it, you can profit from it. You can use this insanity to rob other people who are vulnerable, ignorant, caught in a system whether they like it or not. It's a racket. We've accepted the racket. We let racketeers run the country, run the Congress, run the corporations. And as long as we continue with this fundamental insanity, we're going to see some very strange results. What we do, in part, by trying to own gold or own silver, it's a kind of self-medication. It's a way that we can isolate ourselves, insulate ourselves from the insanity of fiat currency. Huh? We are trying to self-medicate by buying gold. Now, that's, you know, and again, immunize ourselves from the insanity and the inevitable crack-up. Right now, we're just half crazy. But we have to keep doing crazy things until they finally become so absurd that the whole system blows up. So what do we got, Melody? Better health through gold and silver.
I like it.
Yeah, interesting analogy.
Yes. Yeah. This article caught my attention, Al, and it's Nina Easton. She's a senior editor with the Fortune magazine, and her article was America's Wayward Sons, Why They Can't Carry On. And the headline that caught my attention was Six Reasons Why Men Are Falling Behind Women. And so I thought, well, that's interesting. So, you know, I wasn't quite sure what the article was going to be about, but it is about men falling behind women, men falling behind in the country and the way the workforce is headed. And there's various reasons. There was the column that she wrote was based on an MIT study that showed with the sharp rise of single parent households, how it actually hurts boys more than girls. And, you know, another reason was they blamed a rise in a more readily available government assistance, making aid checks more appealing than paychecks, and the decline of well-paying manufacturing jobs combined with fast-paced technological change also are factors in this. And the article and the report says that the median income, the state of the median income men in America is in distress. They've endured a three-decade drop in earnings. And, of course, this was even before the financial crash where prime-age men were dropping out of the workforce altogether. And, of course, we all know that the problem has worsened since then. And women are ahead of their male counterparts in areas that are very important for, I guess, you know, the continuation of this togetherness of global economy. So I find it interesting, and you do see an impact on this and how the training, the financial gains of women and women are becoming breadwinners. I mean, you still see men outpace women in science and math. They're still going to dominate in the high-paying industrial jobs, but I just thought it was quite interesting. And you know, the various parts of comments from some of the readers were a flight of the fathers, again, the single-parent household. You have the rise in autism or ADHD. You know, you have the video game factor, you know, where they're just, you know, it's how these men are being raised anymore by women.
They have a problem. I mean, you've touched on a whole bunch of things there. One of the things that, I mean, that's probably a week's worth of radio if we dug into all of it. It's certainly a day or two. One of the things I saw just lately, the percentage of people in this country who are self-employed, they have their own little business, has dropped from about 25% in 1950 to about 7% today. This at least parallels the loss of the middle class. The decline of the middle class. I won't say the loss of the middle class, but the decline of the middle class. Everyone is moving increasingly into an employee mode where we are no longer independent. Of the 93% of us that have jobs, most of us are working for major corporations and or government. Increasingly, that's the way we go. And yet self-employment is so much more lucrative, it's such a better way to, it's so much better as a lifestyle. I've been self-employed for, I don't remember, God, it has to go back. I've been basically self-employed probably for 40 years, you know, and there's a certain amount of risk, there's a certain amount of adventure to it, and the rest of that sort of thing, but there's also a fine opportunity to generate a really good income if you are hardworking. Understand? You're willing to work hard. You don't necessarily have to be intelligent. You don't necessarily have to be well-educated. But there's a lot of work that you can do, and if you're hardworking and you're able to learn on the job, you can make a good living. We have been run out of the self-employment by government regulations. It is now so difficult to start a business and understand all the tax forms and all the other rules and regulations that government is constantly piling on that the only people who can do it are major corporations who can afford to hire people to try to keep track of whatever's going on in Washington, D.C. Small operators can't do it. The nation is being diminished. It's at least one of the reasons why men are falling behind. Nobody can keep up with the government, or very few of us can. We'll take a break for a couple of commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in a moment and talk a little bit more about the difference between men and women in the existing economy. Please stay tuned.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hey folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. Melody, got a special for folks today?
I absolutely do. We have a little one going today. It is going to be a $20 gold piece. It's a Mint State 63 St. Gaudens. A Mint State 63 St. Gaudens. You're going to receive free shipping in this price, and you're also going to receive Dr. Stan Monteith's Brotherhood of Darkness. It's a beginner's guide into the explanation and the pointing out of the powers to be. This package is $1,795. $1,795. The regular price on this coin would actually be $19. $100. It's a great special. It's a very limited amount. So if you're interested in picking up a Mint State 63 St. Gaudens, free shipping, a book of Dr. Stanley Monteith's Brotherhood of Darkness for $1,795, give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
Sounds like a great special. Melody,
Wait, I'm not done. Oh. I want to remind the listeners to make sure you go to our website at dgscoins.com. DGS for Discount Gold Silver Coins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. It's real easy to do. You just type in your name and your email address. And you can also listen to, if you want to go back a year from now to listen to our programs, you can do so. So we have them archived on a daily basis and a longer-term basis. So dgscoins.com. And if you have any questions for the program today, we forget to give out the question email address and even the call-in phone number for callers. If you'd like to send us a question, that is questions@dgscoins.com. Questions@dgscoins.com.
We were talking before we broke, for commercials, we were talking about the adverse effect. We're talking in part on the adverse effect of having children raised in fatherless homes. And this isn't a new situation. I've been concerned with this problem since a divorce in 1983. I became a student of the problem. I've written articles on it 20 years ago. It's not a focus of my attention today the same degree that it was 20 years ago, but it's still a focus. And for example, this is not a new problem, and it was recognized in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Huh? This goes back thousands of years, where one of the things you learn, if you study the Bible a little bit, you'll discover that the word fatherless appears in the Bible 44 times. The word motherless appears only once, and that's in some translations. Some translations, they will talk about children being orphans, and in some instances, they'll say motherless and fatherless. Right? But I don't believe that the disparity between 44 fatherless and one motherless in the Bible is an accident. They understood that if you lost your mother, it was a problem. But if you lost your father, you were in big trouble. They understood it, and out of the 44 verses, there were 17. It was the plurality, the number one of a. They used fatherless in a number of different devices, a number of instances, and it was generally always a disability. But 17 or 18, I don't recall anymore, but it was not the majority, but it was the single largest focus of instances where the Bible uses fatherless. It would be a prophet speaking to the rich and the powerful, and they would warn against, the prophet would warn the rich and the powerful against oppressing the widows and the fatherless. And they says, you do not oppress the widows and the fatherless. Most people read that and they understand it to mean, look, these people got enough trouble already. Just don't go picking on the widows and don't be picking on the fatherless. They got enough problems. Well, that's true. But it's also true that what the Bible is implicitly revealing is a formula for those who desire to oppress the people. They're telling us by implication that the widows and the fatherless are more easily oppressed than women who have a husband and children who have fathers. And if you're bent on oppression, one of the first things, you want to oppress a country, get that father out of the home. Raise the children without fathers, and they become less able to resist oppression. Huh? This principle is seen in Rome, ancient Rome, where they had slaves. And it was their law that if a family was going to be divided, if the family was a family of slaves, the children always went with the mother. If it was a family of free men, free Romans, right, the children went with the father. They understood that the children raised without fathers were less able to defend themselves, less able to stand up and resist oppression. And the children who were raised with fathers were stronger. They were better able to, if necessary, fight foreign invaders, fight domestic foes, right? And this is not to say that children who are raised without fathers can't pick up a rifle, can't shoot people, can't do a bunch of stuff, but they seem to lack the same level of self-esteem on average that's necessary to stand up in public and stand up for themselves. They don't learn how to stand up for themselves. They're capable of violence. They're capable of, physical violence, one thing, another like that. But they're not capable of working together as standing up again, fighting for freedom and against oppression. And the point I'm trying to make is that a nation, a government that was bent on oppression. One of its first orders of business, if the Bible is true, if the Romans, the ancient Romans and their slaves, if that was true, Americans had slaves. And what did we do? We set up a matriarchy for the slaves. We moved that black man out of the family. And the government is still doing that with welfare rules. They did it since the 1960s where they established welfare regulations. Oh, yeah, we'll give money. You black women can have all the children you want, but don't you keep that old black tomcat around the house. You understand? You got to throw the man out of the house or we won't give you any money. That was part of the rules for welfare back in the 1960s. I don't know where it stands today. I don't know if that same requirement is there, but we have created generations of blacks raised without fathers. And it's not something that you just, okay, next generation will have fathers and they'll be fine. It's not that easy. You don't get to be a father just because you happen to have a penis and two testicles. There's more to fatherhood than mere biology. It has something that is learned to some degree. To be a father, you got to have a father. I'm not saying that's an absolute rule, but you must have seen a father functioning. And you've learned how to be a father to your kids from your own father. If he wasn't there, they don't just dump children in your lap and say, oh, now I'm Dada. I've got a child in my lap. You don't know how to handle it. It's dangerous to the nation. It's advantageous to the government insofar as the government is bent on oppression. It's not an accident that fathers are being removed from homes. It's not a, you know, so this is at least one side of the equation. The Melody brought up with her article about how women are doing, men are falling behind women. Yeah, they are. Huh? We have become, the government has sought to diminish us psychologically and financially. And, you know, back when I was a kid, there's another example of this. Back when I was a kid, my dad only paid about 15% of his total income went to local, state, and federal taxes. He got to keep 85 cents on the dollar. As a result, he had enough money where my mother could stay home and raise me and my sister. Today, a young man is paying 55, 60% of his income to local, state, and federal and hidden taxes. He's only keeping maybe 40%. He doesn't make enough money to support himself and a wife and children. As a result, the wife is looking for a breadwinner. She wants somebody to go out there and make enough money so she can stay home and raise the kids, but he can't do it anymore. And she looks at her husband and says, what's wrong with this loser? And before you know it, we have a divorce on our hands, assuming we even had a marriage to begin with. And why is it that the young man can't support the wife in the same sense my father did back in the 1950s? It's because government, in its infinite wisdom, is taxing us into oblivion. It also goes to the old Virginia Slims commercials. You've come a long way, baby, right? For women. And we say, hooray, women have jobs, and hooray, women get to work in industry, and the rest of that. It's not that women get to work. They've got to work. Why? Because government has taxed daddy into freaking poverty. And as the taxes on daddy rose, the only way they could hold the family together is first mom said, well, I suppose I could take a job a couple nights a week working at McDonald's, you know, just make enough money, kind of tide us over here. And then after another couple of years, she's working full time at McDonald's. And pretty soon she's got herself a real job, a career, whatever. And what's been done? The children are off in daycare. The children are being raised as latchkey children. The children are hanging around in gangs. Why? Because mom and dad have to work. Why? Because the government is taxing us all into oblivion. Today, it takes the income of two people to generate a standard of living comparable to what my father could earn all by himself back in 1950. And this goes back, and they just keep ratcheting up. We need a little more money, a little more money, a little more money, and the government keeps raising our taxes. We are watching a process, if we care to see it, if we're a little bit astute and we have enough courage to look, We are being boiled like frogs. And I guarantee you the people that are controlling the thermostat, the people that are controlling the flame under the pot, are the congressmen and the senators and the presidents who laugh and smile and express confidence, and they're selling us down the river every day they go to work. And you folks, I don't care where you live or who you've got for congressman or senator, I doubt that there are five congressmen, there are no senators and no presidents who are not working against our best interests, and I doubt that you can find five congressmen who are not, in fact, working against our best interests. They're going to continue to get away with it until we realize what's going on, and we stand up, get up off the couch, stand up in unison, and tell them this ends now. This nation is being destroyed by its own government. These are not accidents. These are not just the unintended consequences of good intentions. These people know what they're doing just as surely as George Soros knew what he was doing when he made tens of millions or however many millions of dollars he made in a matter of minutes. He knew what was going on. And our government knows what's going on. At the upper levels, they absolutely know, and they're doing it. And they are creating a nation that is more easily dominated, more easily oppressed, and it does not bode well for any of us. Right? Unless we find the courage to stand up and attempt to stop it. What else we got, Melody?
And, well, you know, Al, I just wanted to go back to quickly to the about the women and the single family. I mean, I work. I couldn't think of a better job than what I'm doing right now. But I do believe, I mean, there are a lot of women that do great jobs. But I believe the women's, and you know, people will probably say, how could she say that? But I do believe women should be in the home. They are left to be at home. I didn't want to work. I would rather be at home tending to my children than having to work. I'd rather be able to provide dinner, make dinner, and do what needs to be done as what a woman is supposed to do. And I mean, certainly there are women in the workforce, and they do a very fine job. And I think if you ask the majority of women out there in the workforce, would you rather work or would you rather be at home taking care of your family? I would think a large percentage of them would rather be at home and able to take care of their families.
Well, what they're taking care of right now is they're taking care of the government. That's what you're doing. I mean, the most... I'm not sure. I mean, it's none of my business, but you can think to yourself, how much are you paying? What is the biggest cost in your life right now, Melody? And I'll make you bet it's taxes.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
It absolutely
There's the biggest
is.
Cost in your life right now. You're not taking care of kids or family. You're taking care of the government. And the government has come along and they said, oh, you've come a long way, baby, and this is progress, and you're going to have a career. Yeah, you're going to have a career. I would like to have get everybody in the country working under circumstances where it's that 60% of their income was coming to me.
Mm-hmm.
Of course I want more people working, paying these high taxes. It's just more money in my pocket. And people have to begin to recognize who your enemies are. All right? The government is going to try to convince all of us that they are doing great and wonderful things, and therefore we just need some more money, and we need some more money, and we need some more money. Bill Clinton said back about 1992, let me think,
mm-hmm.
yeah. that's true. He predicted that the next generation would be paying about 80% of their income to government.
Yeah.
You people are living like slaves. I mean, slaves, sharecroppers got to keep a bigger percentage of their income than you people do now, and they intend to have you pay even more. And they're doing it while you fall for their idiot smiles, their grins, their false confidence. You're being hustled. You're being conned. One of the biggest things anyone can do is learn to recognize who your real enemies really are. We're going to take a break for a couple more commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What else have we today, Melody?
Oh, we're talking about taxes, and we may as well bring this one up. Marketplace Fairness Act of 2013.
Mm-hmm.
This is the bill that was passed through the Senate that allows the states to force out-of-state merchants to collect their sales taxes across state lines. Many of us thought this was just applied to the internet. However, this issue, it is portrayed by the media as just an internet collection of sales taxes. But the collection of sales taxes across state lines is not limited to the internet, but it includes all mail and phone orders. And if it's passed into law, all out-of-state vendors would be required to collect and remit sales taxes for all the states. And we need to follow this. And again, folks, you need to contact your members of Congress to oppose this bill. And for the way it would impact gold, we have here in Pennsylvania sales tax exemptions on rare coin, and so it's more important now that we keep that intact. But there are some states that like Ohio, where people pay a sales tax if you live within the state. If you lived outside the state, you could buy from Ohio and they wouldn't tax you. Now they would tax you. But here in Pennsylvania, since it's exempt, we're still good. But it is true how the media portrays this as just internet, and it's much, much bigger than that. So make sure you pick up your phones, contact your members of Congress to oppose this bill.
All things, it's I doubt that this bill is even workable.
I can't imagine. I mean, it's
how are they going to enforce
this?
Are they going to enforce this? Let's suppose I live in Oregon. Let's suppose you sell some gold coins, some guy who lives in Oregon. In Oregon, how are they even going to find out, point one, that you sold coins to someone in Oregon? That's going to be interesting all by itself. I mean, this implies that they're going to have to keep you under surveillance and keep the guy in Oregon under surveillance so they know. They're going to have to, hey, we're going to have to tap all your phone lines. We're going to have to read all your email. If we catch any of you people buying stuff from Pennsylvania, we're going to have to come after who? Do they go after the guy in Oregon or do they go after you? Do you think the state of Oregon can afford to sue you every time Joe Jablonski there wasn't sales tax collected on a $2,500 order?
Actually, Al, I believe the way this would work, whatever happened, whenever they create these bills, they encompass everything. And then as it gets through, they slice and they dice it until something is workable. I know in several states right now that when people buy things from out of state, it is their responsibility. And that is very easily tracked. I mean, by their buying, by their checking accounts and the money that they send, it is easy trackable. And the penalties and the fines are so severe that it's a heck of a lot cheaper to tell, you know, to admit that you bought out of state and that here's the sales tax. It's a lot cheaper to pay the sales tax and the penalties and the fines. So
why do they have such serious and severe penalties and fines? It's there to intimidate you into voluntarily telling them that I bought a balloon across state lines. And why do they do that? Because they don't have the means to enforce. They try to terrify everyone into paying the taxes because, as a practical matter, real enforcement is virtually impossible. You got to voluntarily pay these taxes because the government cannot enforce them. They don't have enough. They don't have enough corn cobs. They don't have the resources to enforce it, so they try to scare everyone. This is going to blow up ultimately in government's face, but in the meantime and before it does, we will have perhaps a difficult time. We were talking earlier. We have a situation, taxes, today. You have to pay income tax on whatever you earn. Okay, and we say, oh, well, that's fair. Yeah, we can pay income tax on whatever we earn. You got to pay sales tax on whatever you spend. In other words, if you earn $1,000, government's going to tax you, and let's say they're going to take right off the top, they're going to take $200 of your $1,000 for income tax. And then you have $800 left. Well, government, well, it's only fair that government get another 8% on the $800 that's left after you paid your income tax when you spend it. Which is going to be another, what, $64 or whatever it works out to be. By the time you get done, you get taxed on what you earn, you get taxed on what you spend. So far as I know, we don't have a serious tax yet on what we save, although when you calculate the fines and restrictions and one thing and another, fees that are associated with savings accounts and pension accounts, we are moving in the direction of you get taxed on what you earn, you get taxed on what you save, and you get taxed on what you spend. You get taxed on everything. And they're trying to tell us this is a free country where the majority of your income is going to support the government. It is not a free country. And the government is not content even taking 60%. They want 80%. And everyone sits here and just says, well, if the government wants it, I guess we have, because they're doing all these good deeds. The hell they are. They are destroying this nation. It's being destroyed by its own government. And insofar as we cooperate and we accept without thinking, every time they come, well, the Tax Fairness Act, they're calling it, I don't remember, what is the proper name for the Internet Taxing Act, Melody? Do you remember? Do you have it there in front of you? It's something, the Market Fairness Act or some damn thing like that.
I don't have it in front of me.
In any case, they use the word fairness in there. Fair to who? Fair to who? It's not fair to anybody other than the government. And you people need to wake up and realize that the government is not here to help you. It's here to help itself. It's here to help itself to whatever it is you can earn. So it requires, if we're going to change things in this country, you need to start to perceive things objectively and begin to recognize who your adversaries are, who your enemies are, who and what is the biggest cost in your life. You know, if your taxes today, if our taxes were today were comparable to what they were back in 1950, when we were the richest nation on earth, when we were the strongest nation on earth, if the taxes were the same, you would be prosperous, ladies and gentlemen. You would be doing well. You would be looking forward to the future with a great deal of hope and optimism, as would your children. But instead, we have a system where government just keeps on ratcheting up a little more tax, a little more tax, a little more tax. Someone needs to tell the government to go to elk. You understand? Somebody needs to tell them, I don't give a damn what brilliant idea any one of you come up with in Congress, in the Senate, in the White House, not one nickel more for taxes. Somebody needs to tell the government, we cannot afford to carry your parasitical butts around anymore. Get yourself a job, make a productive contribution to the society, or take a knife to your wrists and be gone. We can't afford all the parasites in government. Get rid of them. What else, Melody?
This question coming in from Ivan. According to DEPCA file, more than 2,000 PKK fighters have begun leaving Turkey, some on foot on their way to their strongholds in the Kandil Mountains of the Kurdish Republic of northern Iraq. This exodus signals the winding down of the outlawed movement's 29 years of separatist insurgency against the Turkish government, which left tens of thousands dead. Is this done to reinforce the opposing present Kurdish forces against the Iraqi government? Since Malachi, Iraqi president, warned Kurdish local government not to sell oil without his permission.
Well, that's one thing I really appreciate are simple questions that you can answer with a yes or no. All right. Yvonne's question is complex. Why people are maybe moving, why revolutionaries, warriors, armed individuals may be moving from Turkey to Iraq, who knows? I certainly don't know. We'd have to get one on the radio program and ask him, what are you guys up to? But I saw an article just recently that explains that Iraq is on the verge of its own civil war. Now, are people moving from Turkey to Iraq because problems that had previously existed in Turkey or whatever are being diminished? Are they moving from Turkey to Iraq because Iraq is on the verge of a possible civil war and they intend to participate in that civil war? Or both? And the answer is, I don't know. It's one of the things we can speculate about, but I certainly don't know the answer. I doubt if there's anyone listening to this program who understands the answer to that question. I don't know that Yvonne understands the answer to the question. But it's more evidence. You know, I get back. I am inclined to believe we are probably in or approaching end times. Maybe that's true. Maybe it's not. Bible says no man knows the date and time. You know, I don't. You know, I could be mistaken. But the Bible says, you know, they will say peace, peace, but there is no peace. Huh? There are people working for peace in the Middle East. In my opinion, if the Bible is true, that's a fool's errand. I understand why they're doing it. You know, I understand that, you know, peace, we perhaps all have an obligation to work for peace, but there are some things that just aren't going to happen. And you wonder how much energy should be devoted to trying to do something when perhaps it can't be done. We're not going to stop the peace initiatives. I understand that. I wouldn't even necessarily recommend that they be stopped, but I would recommend that people stop supposing that they're going to succeed. My reading, my take on it, we are going to see the Middle East erupt into more and more violence, and it's going to continue over the course of who knows how many years. I don't know. 5 years, 10 years, I don't know how long it's going to last, but does anyone think that there is going to be anything like peace in the Middle East until a significant portion of the Middle East is reduced to rubble? I don't. You know, it may take a while before we get to where things get as bad as they're going to be, but If when armed individuals are moving around, a couple thousand armed individuals are moving from one country to another, I do not believe whatever's going on, I do not believe that that movement is motivated by a desire for peace or a probability of peace. It's almost certainly, it's more evidence. We're going to see more war over there. We got Syria is hot. We've got Iraq is getting hot. I don't know. Egypt is going to collapse. God only knows what's going to happen there. I wonder, can anyone really keep track of everything that's going on in the Middle East? For example, Hillary Clinton has access to information about the Middle East that I probably can't even imagine. But do you think she knows what's going on there? Does anyone know what's going on there? In the sense that they have confidence of what the situation will be 30 days, 60 days, even 90 days from now? The whole situation is so explosive, it's unpredictable. I doubt that anyone can control. I suspect that almost all they will do in the Middle East right now is react to whatever. Who knows? Where's the next bomb going to go off? What's Israel going to do next? Who are they going to invade? Who are they going to bomb? The world has become a place. The Middle East in particular, but much the balance of the world besides. We have become unstable to where even here in this country, it appears to be pretty stable, perhaps more stable than most of the rest of the countries on Earth. Maybe. But at the same time, I go back to that old Memorex ad on a regular basis where you've got that glass in front of the speaker and somebody hits high C and the glass begins to vibrate and then all of a sudden, bam, it snaps. It practically explodes. I get the feeling that this nation is like that Memorex commercial. It's like the glass in the Memorex commercial. I get the feeling we are vibrating. We haven't shattered. Maybe we won't. But I get the feeling that we are approaching that possibility. We're down to our last 30 seconds. Melody, anything you want to add before we close it down? Melody, did you turn your mute on again?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did too. I know that.
Green side up. No, I just wanted to, we had a couple of other questions coming in, and we'll have to get to them tomorrow. So I thank the folks for their patience. And if some of the listeners who listen to other hours of the program later on in the day, if you can still send us questions, just send it to questions@dgscoins.com, and we will address your question on the live program at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So, you know, don't hesitate to send us questions, and we've got the special $1,795 for Mint State 63, St. Gaudens. We have a limited supply at that price. It includes free shipping, and it also includes a book by Dr. Stanley Monteith, Brotherhood of Darkness. And it's a great introduction to the powers to be. So if you want to help spread the news and share the information that you already know, it's a great book to give out. So. That's all I got now.
All right, folks, we're out of time. We got to go. I'm Alfred Addis with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Be back mañana. In the meantime, the good Lord bless Steve, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye. I work all night.